Right, now I'm going to have all the kids come on up. All right, so we have covered love. Anyone know what the second one was? Joy. Joy. So we have hope and faith. Wonderful. So today we're going to talk about hope. Now, coming into Christmas, what are you guys hoping for? Christmas? What? Presents? Okay, what type of presents are we looking for? I'm helping you out, parents. A puppy? Okay. Good luck there. Bionicles? How about you, Asher? Yeah, paintbrushes and paint. Please pray for our walls. All right. So you want a watch. Okay. So we have hopes that we're going to get some gifts. Now, we can talk about the hope that God brings. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about here in a few minutes with the sermon. But I want you to think of a question, or I'm going to give you a question I want you to think about. Let's put it that way, yeah. I'm going to give you a question I want you to think about. How long will your toys, your paintbrushes, your watches last you? Winston?
12 years.
You think 12 years? Okay, so 12 years. How about... Not very long. Yeah, let's go with that because I'm guessing different things will last.
Puppy may last.
Yeah, the puppy may last a little bit longer. Yeah. Your bionicles, you'll probably be interested in them for a couple years, a month or so, before they'll find a box and be there. See, now the gift of hope that God gives us is eternal, and it's something that we carry wherever we go. So I'm going to ask that you hope for the hope of God in your hearts this year. That when you see the Christmas tree and you see all the presents underneath, that you remember that all those presents are there because of the love that people have for you. And that they love you because they have hope, because they know God loves them. All right? So that's what we're going to do. Now, who wants to light the candle? Go ahead. Well, I need it to light the first one. Last words? Yep, that one we got to light next Sunday. So if you guys come next Sunday, we'll talk about faith as being the greatest gift God gives us. All right, thank you very much. Go ahead, hit it back. So this week we're going to talk about hope. Next week we're going to talk about faith. And what we're going to talk a little bit about this week in the concept of hope is what is hope? And why I don't consider hope. A lot of people sit there and say one of the greatest gifts we get from God is the hope that he gives us. I always want to say the greatest gift that God gives us is the faith, the faithfulness he has towards us and the faith we have in him. Because without faith in God, and we're going to talk more about this next week, but without faith in God, we don't have hope. See, hope in human terms is very fleeting. I want you to think about the world around us. Think back throughout your lives at the difficulties you've experienced or that you've seen. Grace just talked about all the darkness that's in the world around us and being missionaries and going out and being, you know, the bringer of light into those dark situations. I was reading a bunch of stories on hope, trying to find one that I thought really kind of summed up what it meant to have hope without any oomph behind it. And the thing is when we only rely on human hope, in the sense of like, well, it'll be better tomorrow because I'll make it better tomorrow. Guess what happens? We never get there. We never find contentment. We never find happiness. And we never develop that hope that tomorrow will be better because we keep on realizing that when we count on humanity to make it better, we never really quite see it. And sure, we can help each other and we can be nice to each other and we can care for each other. But eventually, even the best of us will fail a person that's in need. We won't answer a call that's been given. See, hope in human hands alone is fleeting. And God understood that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and 12 is our concentration one, but I'm going to start out. He says, "So then remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised, by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands." And this is verse 12. "And at that time, you were without Christ, excluded from citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world." See, without God, the world has no hope. It is without hope. Because without God, we can never be any better than the failures that we've been. Without God, we can never be strong enough to make everything okay for everybody else. See, without God, we can't have any of that. Paul was telling the Ephesians that before you had Christ, you had no hope because you had no eternity. You had no promise that could be steadfast through all things because human promise is only as good as we can keep it. Now, I don't know about you, but I've made promises that I haven't kept. Each and every one of us, I'm willing to bet, has made a promise at some point in our life that we haven't been able to follow through, whether by our want, our failure in doing so, or because of outside circumstances, but we've broken promises we've made. But see, in God, His promises are constant, and they've never been broken. They've been steadfast throughout time, and every time He makes a promise, it comes true. See, that's why our hope is in God, and without God, we have no hope, because we are just waiting for the next failure. And I want you to do a mental inventory. When you ask people to do something for you, what's the first thing you start thinking? How am I going to make this happen when they fail to do it? How am I going to make sure this gets done when it doesn't get done from the other side? I know a lot of you are sitting there going, no, I don't. But I can see it in your eyes. Yes, you do. We all do that. We all sit there and say, this needs to happen. I'm asking someone else to do it. I need to make sure it gets done. So I better have a plan B. Right? That's one of our most famous things. Have your plan B ready all the time, right? See, that's because we understand that in human hands, we have no hope that things will always follow through. But in God, we can. So as we come through Advent and we look at hope, we need to understand what it means to be bringing hope to the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And it's not just a hope of passivity, it's a living hope. It continually grows as we experience Christ. Have you ever wondered or felt that like you just don't feel God present in your life? That maybe He's just not present or there or answering your prayers or hearing your prayers even? The question I would ask you is are you following through with the resurrected Jesus? Are you pursuing a living relationship with Him or a living hope in Christ? See, that's what God did with Jesus Christ. When He brought Jesus Christ to walk with humanity and suffer with humanity and go through the trials and the temptations that humans go through, when God was reincarnated, fully divine and fully in the flesh as Jesus Christ, He was charting a course. He was setting an understanding or a standard for us to know what we could expect in Him. And so what we see in Jesus, His ability to follow through and be truthful and faithful to what God's words and teachings were, to live a life to glorify the Father, which we see in John 14 as being one of the greatest things that He asked for, or one of the greatest things He says He does is those tasks that have glorified the Father. We start seeing this model as how we can live life in a living hope fashion. When we put our thoughts, our mind towards Christ and following the example that He set and following the calling that He has given, then we can have a living hope that is growing as our faith grows in Him. See, hope in ourselves will fade away. I want you to take a moment and think of a time that you were really excited at the beginning of something, but as you went through it, it got worse and worse, and you became more and more distraught as you went through it, or more and more distracted, or just more and more broken down by it. And I can think of time and time again where I've been frustrated or angry, and I'm sure you've all experienced the same thing, where you've lost hope in a situation, maybe in a relationship or in a job, maybe in an assignment at school. And as you move through it, you just simply lose hope. And you start feeling the effects of that. because you're not persevering. You're not focused on where God's moving you through on it. You've shifted your thought or your focus onto what can't be done instead of what God can do through it. See, when we remember that God has delivered Jesus Christ so that we may have hope in the promise of salvation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we can live a living hope. A hope that is regenerated day in and day out. Do you have that in your life? Do you wake up every morning with hope in your heart? Or do you wake up every morning wondering what the day is going to bring and how you're going to make it through? See, the gift of hope that we receive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is brought to us first by the birth of a baby, is so important for us to have that regeneration of hope every day. Because as God comes forth every day, as he rose from the grave to defeat death and move into eternal life, and the invitation for us to join him through faith in him gives us the ability every morning to be renewed, to have a hope deep down inside of us that can't be smutted or smothered by anything. No amount of water, no amount of stress or pressure that comes from outside, because it's eternal and it's inside of us through the Holy Spirit. That's the hope, that's the gift that comes with Jesus Christ. If you haven't had that in your life, I challenge you to kneel before the throne and confess your faith in Jesus Christ. I encourage you to put your life in his hands. The only one who has been risen and defeated death, avoided temptation and overcome it, and followed truly in the will of God, and live your life in accordance to where he calls and leads you to go. And then you'll start feeling this hope. See, because every day you get a choice whether you want to live a life with hope in it or whether you want your hope to be smothered by the flames of Satan. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Couple things that I want to highlight in there. Do you ever feel like you're just not really there yet? This verse here that John is sharing with us tells us that's what we should expect. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We're not made to be known in completeness yet. And so if you think that you have a brokenness inside of you, or if you struggle with something, know that that's probably true. You do. But God is moving you to a place of non-brokenness, of true resurrection, something greater than what you are right now. And we will only know that when we fully know who he is and we stand in his presence. And we have that ability through faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. It says, "We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So in other words, we will see him in his fullness, in his full glory standing before us. And we will know because we have followed and we have attempted to be that. In verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself." So in other words, the only way that we can cleanse ourselves is to have hope in Christ, that Christ is doing the work he says he is doing in us. And our hope in eternal life is from the fact that he is resurrected from the dead, that he overcame death as the first fruits, and we will be picked in the future as we go through. And because we have hope in him, just as he is pure, so will we become pure. This is how we live a life in hope, is we put our hope in Jesus Christ. We understand that it's not in us that we do it, but it's in God that we have the strength to go out and do it. Whether that's a task at hand, as Grace will be doing here in the next few months, to answer a call directly, or whether it's just the way we live life day in and day out right where we live here locally, amongst the family and friends that we interact with day in and day out. See, our hope in Christ gives us the ability to look at any trial that we hit and move through it. It gives us the ability to see joy in some of the darkest places. It gives us the ability to have courage to walk into a scary situation. Because we know our hope isn't bound by this world, but it is set by the spiritual king. See, our hope, if it's based in Christ, is eternal. A flame that doesn't ever flicker out, but instead constantly grows with the nurturing of the Holy Spirit upon us. This is how we live a life of hope. I hope everybody's okay. In Hebrews 6, 19 and 20, we get a final little clue of what it means to live a life of hope. The author, who's unknown outright, says, "We have this hope as an anchor for our lives, safe and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus has entered there on our behalf as a forerunner because he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." So what we're being told here by the Hebrew author is that our hope is our anchor in our lives. No matter what situation you find yourself in, if you know that you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have hope for eternal life in that belief, no matter where you find yourself, what difficulty you may be in, no matter how much you might struggle, you will never find yourself unable to handle it. Because the hope you have isn't bound by the earth, but it is released into the spiritual realm where Christ and the Holy Spirit come upon you and help move you through it and help you gain something that we can't do here on earth. No matter what storm you find yourself in, our hope is what anchors us during it and keeps us safe. I love the word secure. Every night with Asher, we tuck him into bed and he's got a weighted blanket and we tuck that blanket onto him and you can just see him just kind of curl up underneath it. I think of that as the hope that we have in Christ, that no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what situation, he wraps us. And we know that we are safe and that we are secure in who we are because it is him who is defining who we are and not the world around us. Furthermore, that hope helps us enter the inner sanctuary behind the curtain because our hope is Jesus Christ who gives us the ability to have a direct relationship with God the Father, to be reunited as Adam and Eve were in the garden, to walk in his presence, to be found in his great love. See, our hope reminds us that that's where we draw to, that this world is just a place we're visiting, but that we have eternity in the presence of God. Because Jesus has entered there on behalf as his forerunner, as the author writes, and become this high priest for us, we can have certainty and hope that when we come into the inner sanctuary, when we walk in, we don't have to tie a rope around our waist because we won't be stricken down and we won't be smited out, but that we'll be welcomed with open arms as the prodigal son was, as he returns to the Father who loves and cares for him and holds a celebration. The hope that we carry when it's in Christ is, it's amazing. It extends past anything that you can imagine. And it does so not because we're so good or he's going to make sure everything's okay in our lives. Because if that was the case, it wouldn't be that amazing of a hope because it was just whenever things were good. But the reason this hope is so amazing is because it withstands and overcomes every trial that you come upon. Every time that you struggle, if you place your hope in Christ, you will overcome it. It doesn't mean the path will be easy. It doesn't mean that there won't be trials and difficulties, but it means that you'll be strengthened and you'll grow through the experience. So this Christmas, as you open up the gifts around the tree, then ask that you open the gift that God's given you by opening hope in Christ. In fact, you can even unpack that one a little bit early. You can do it today. If you know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you have your Lord and Savior as your guide and as your wisdom, then you know that you have his hope. The hope to eternal life, the hope to overcome temptation, the hope to be what he is moving you towards versus what you've always been. So wherever you find yourself today, place your hope in Jesus Christ. Let the world's hope fall away and don't fall prey to it, but instead find strength that you may find yourself in the inner sanctuary behind the curtain without fear. Find yourself in a place where the living hope bubbles from you, that others see it. Because when you live that type of hope in your life, the gift isn't just to you, but it's to everybody that's around you. See, this is the greatest gift. This is the gift of hope. That is not just for you, but it's for all who believe in Jesus Christ. Let us share Christmas in the true fashion, with hope in our hearts, with love in our actions, and with joy in our spirit, so that none will ever question where our faith lies. Amen.